why? You know, the question when it comes from the little ones over and over and over again gets a little repetitive. But for each of us, it's important to start with the question, why? Simon Sinek has a book titled, and he's a leadership expert, he has a book titled Start With Why. And he also has a TED Talk. We sent that out this week in email and text. If you haven't gotten to watch it, it's an 18-minute TED Talk that really summarizes a whole book. But it's Start With Why. What Simon Sinek says is that the most successful and innovative companies are the ones that know their why. They know their why, which defines their purpose. It defines why they exist. And so Apple, Southwest Airlines, all the companies we say they're getting it right, it's because they know their why. And what we find is their why then informs what they do and how they do it. Every once in a while, companies look at Southwest or they look at Apple and they see what they're doing and then they try to copy them. And they're never nearly as successful because they haven't started with their own why. And so if this concept works in the business world, I think we need to incorporate it in the church world and in our faith life. Why? Why do we believe what we believe? And so over the next 3 weeks, we're starting with why Jesus, and then why the church, the universal church, and then why Vista Ridge United Methodist Church. So I'm going to ask you to spend a minute and a half either thinking or writing. If you turn on the back of your bulletin, there is a box that says why. So why Jesus today? I don't know if you've thought about this in a while. If you were raised in the church, sometimes we just take this for granted. So if you're comfortable writing, I invite you to write. If writing is going to make you totally uncomfortable, just sit and think and answer the question, though. Why Jesus? And so I want to get your wheels turning, so we'll spend a minute and a half. I'm going to be quiet. Lou's not going to shoo me off stage. I'll stay right here. But a minute and a half to answer the question, why Jesus? So why Jesus? Hopefully you had some answers as you thought through them. And if we say anything this morning that spurs you along, feel free to keep jotting down notes in the back of your bulletin to help you answer that question, why Jesus? For some of us, we know this in the interior of our soul. But the reality is, whether we know it or not, there's people around us that are also asking the question, why Jesus? And so today, as we talk about this, these answers might help resonate with you, but they also might be a part of a conversation that you have with a friend or family member or somebody in your community. Why Jesus? As we start with that, I think for myself, I start with who we are. Who we are as a people. And what I recognize is that we are folks who are broken. Like in each of our own lives, we could look around and say, I'm not the person I fully want to be. I'm not the right husband or father or pastor or neighbor always. I have some elements of brokenness within me. And my guess is you do as well. And so we recognize that we have struggles that we have to deal with, and the world is broken. But even at the times when it feels as though our life is kind of put together and things are going okay, we just flip on the news and realize that the world is broken. Yesterday, we were reminded as we took witness to what happened in El Paso. Right, we are reminded that there was somebody who was extremely broken and wounded, and they inflicted wounds and pain on other people. We see that evil. And the reality is, it didn't catch any of us that off guard, because this is somewhat of a thing now. And then that reminds us of the deep brokenness of our human nature and the systems that we live in. We find ourselves mourning and we find ourselves hurting, and we recognize that we need something to heal us, to make us whole, to fix the brokenness that we find in our world. And so we can start with the question of why Jesus? Because I think as we come and we worship here together, Jesus is a part of our answer for that brokenness. And as we look at that brokenness and as we start to answer the question, we start saying, who is Jesus? And the reality is, your why Jesus was probably different than the person sitting next to you and different than the person across the room from you. We all answer the question why Jesus in different ways. So I want to start with a baseline answer today, and then we'll kind of move to some other places, and you'll probably be somewhere along the spectrum. And the beautiful thing is, there's a seat for you whether you answer these questions the exact same way I do or not. But I wonder if we might start with a base level understanding of Jesus as a revolutionary teacher. Mike McGraw is a person known in the internet world as Science Mike. And so Science Mike has podcasts. He's got a book called Finding God in the Waves. But Science Mike, or Mike McGraw, started out as a Christian. And he was very involved in his church, but he grew up in a more fundamentalist church. And some life events happened, and he thinks scientifically, and eventually he just fell off from the faith. He said, you know what, I can't believe in this God anymore. And so he deconstructed his faith to be agnostic and then atheist, saying, I don't even believe God exists. But Jesus kept kind of nudging him and bringing him back. And so he starts wrestling with, who is Jesus? So he creates an axiom, because that's what science people do. And an axiom is basically just a baseline understanding of who Jesus might be. And so listen to what Science Mike said, and this was the axiom he created when he really couldn't say, I don't believe Jesus is God. I don't believe Jesus was resurrected. This was kind of his baseline understanding. And so I wonder if we might start here today. Jesus is at least a man so connected to God that he was called the Son of God, and the largest religious movement in human history is centered around his teachings. Even if this is all Jesus is, following his teachings can promote peace, empathy, and genuine morality. What if Jesus is a revolutionary teacher? We can look at him as possibly a solution to the brokenness that we find in our world. If Jesus is a revolutionary teacher, he taught us several important things that I think we can all connect with. One, he lifts up servant leadership. When we read through the Gospels, we find that Jesus was a revolutionary teacher because he was teaching servant leadership. There's been plenty of leadership books written, and what they continually say is a leader is somebody who serves, right? And Jesus was teaching this 2,000 years ago. He says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. Jesus gives this beautiful example when he was with his disciples on the last night that he was gathered with them, where Jesus removes his cloak and starts washing his disciples' feet. He takes the form of a servant. Jesus taught us servant leadership. And he humbled himself. Philippians 2 says, God humbled himself, taking the form of a servant to live among us. So Jesus, as a revolutionary teacher, teaches us to be a servant leader. But I think he also goes a step further in teaching us radical love. Radical love is all throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What we see is Jesus is continually reaching out to the poor and the outcasts, the marginalized, the people that were on the margins. Jesus is going to them, and he's healing them. He's touching them. He's eating with them. He's showing radical love through his relationships. If you've heard this parable of the Good Samaritan, which is taught not only in churches, but it's a term known outside the church walls because Jesus' teachings were so revolutionary that they far extend to the non-Christian community. The Good Samaritan is the story of the Samaritan person who is typically known as the bad guy. The guy who's not going to get it right, who's not going to do the right thing because the religious leaders have said, no, Samaritans aren't any good. And Jesus tells this story of the religious leaders missing the point and getting it wrong. And then the unlikely hero, the Samaritan, comes forward. And he shows love and compassion and cares for the wounded person. And Jesus says, that is who we need to be living into. That's how we need to live. Jesus teaches radical love by this teaching and giving us that example. There's this other example of the woman caught in the act of adultery, and she's drugged there by the religious leaders and say, our texts say that we need to stone her. And Jesus shows radical love again. He says, those without sin cast the first stone. This radical love is elevated among any other scriptures that tell them that they should be condemning her. Over and over again, we see Jesus lifting up people, elevating people that the rest of the world said was no good. Jesus teaches radical love. He teaches servant leadership. And then he also teaches us peace in the face of oppression. Jesus lived at a time when in Jerusalem where Rome was the occupying power. They were pressing down on Jesus and the Jewish people. And there were two options that the Jews had at that time. They had one was to just accept it and kind of live under the tyranny. And the other was to fight back, like with arms and violence. And Jesus teaches this third way to deal with the oppressors. Jesus has this crazy teaching on the Sermon on the Mount that says, turn the other cheek. It's not an eye for an eye, but if somebody hits you on one side, turn and let them hit you on the other. Jesus says that if somebody asks for your cloak, you should give them your shirt off also. See, this was a law that if a Roman soldier came and said, I need your cloak, you had to give it to him. And Jesus teaches this radical resistance, this pushing back of peace, and says, you know what? If they do that, just strip naked. Just give them your clothes and let them see how foolish your violent ways are. In this teaching, of if somebody asks you to go to mile, go a second mile. Well, that was the Roman soldier who could come into town and say, I've got this luggage and I need you to carry this for me for a mile. And Jesus said, if that soldier asks you to do that, walk with them another mile. Offer them a third way. Show them peace in the face of oppression. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus teaches us peace in the face of oppression. And as we look around the pain and the suffering of this world, I think we need a third way of peace. We need somebody that can show us and teach us radical love and teach us how to lead by serving. And so as we answer this question of why Jesus, we can say he was a revolutionary teacher who taught us a better way to be human. And in fact, that these teachings are so important that we as a culture have translated these texts. The Gospels have been translated into 2,527 languages. The Gospels are the most translated books in human history. Don Quixote comes in at number 2 with around 60 translations of languages. So these teachings are important. And so if you're here this morning and you go, why Jesus? And I don't know if Jesus is God. I don't know all these other things. I think we could start by saying, why Jesus? Because he's a revolutionary teacher. And we desperately need to follow someone and something that can move us to a better spot. But what we also know is we read the Gospels move us to a different spot. To not just say that Jesus was a revolutionary teacher, but they teach us that Jesus is Lord. And it's sometimes hard to make that jump from a teacher to the Son of God, to being fully God. But the Gospels over and over again teach us that Jesus is Lord. And so I wonder if we start wrestling with this, maybe accepting this. Sometimes there's pushback, sometimes there's just full acceptance, but we might think of this by looking at the scripture passage we read from the Gospel of John. The scriptures continually point us in this direction, but it says this in the passage that we read earlier. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. This summarizes it, right? That Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus was with God in the very, very beginning and was part of our creation. Jesus helped breathe life into humanity. So if Jesus is Lord, then we believe that Jesus is God. And as we look through this text, we step through it and see that it says this. It says, what has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. Jesus is the light of all people. Jesus is the light that is with us. So we've got this light that is shining in this dark space. And the Gospel of John says this light is the Word. It's Jesus shining in this space. And we look at the teachings of Jesus being a servant leader, showing us radical love, teaching us how to offer peace to other people. And we see that this is not only revolutionary, but it's light in a dark world. Then in the Gospel of Matthew, it calls Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. So this light just doesn't exist there that maybe we as moths can go and maybe get to that light. But instead, no, we are told that the light is with us. In the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, a couple of verses later, it says, Jesus became flesh and blood and lived among us. One translation says that God moved into the neighborhood. Jesus is the light that is with us. In all those times we feel brokenness, in all those times that we feel there's darkness, God is with us. God is connecting with us. Jesus is offering light to us. And then we continue in verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. See, the light defeats darkness. And perhaps that's the best news of all. Because the world feels pretty dark at times, but we are told, we are promised that the light defeats the darkness. See, the hard part sometimes in figuring out who Jesus is that we have to get to a spot where we talk about the cross and then we talk about an empty tomb. But what this empty tomb means is that there was this death, but then this resurrection. And this resurrection means that the darkness did not win, that death did not win, that the Roman leaders who crucified Jesus, their violent ways, their tactics did not win. But God comes along with this alternative way and brings about light that cannot be shut down. The Apostle Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in Christ's victory. Why Jesus? Because the world is pretty dark. And it's sometimes hard to make that faith hop over here. But I don't know about you, but I need that hope. I need that faith in the resurrection that Jesus is fully God and that death will not have the final word, that darkness will not overcome. Because it's really easy to get stuck in those dark places. It's easy to turn on the TV and say, El Paso is just another one of the many. But we believe that the darkness will not be overcome by, the light will not be overcome by the darkness. And so we are called to be a part of that light, of moving forward. When we see acts of racism or hate going on, we are called to be a part of that light. And we cannot be people who just step back and say, you know, the darkness is won. Why Jesus? Because we need somebody who can defeat that darkness. And if you and I can get to a spot where we answer why Jesus, not just with our lips, not just with our head, but with our heart, It changes how we wake up in the morning. It changes how we interact with our neighbors and with the rest of the community. It changes the way that we engage with the rest of the world. If we can get our why right, then it informs our how and the what that we do. And that is bringing light and life to all people through the power of Christ. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that you are with us, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you give us this wonderful example, this revolutionary teacher that teaches us how you want us to live, the steps that you want us to take, the ways that we can show love and spread your kingdom. God, we are grateful for Jesus Christ who transforms this world, who has a way of shining light into the darkest places and bringing about life. God, we are grateful for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.